CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, welcoming Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. We have very big news. Beijing, Reuters. Fitch cut its outlook on China's sovereign credit rating to negative, citing risks to public finances as the economy faces increasing uncertainty in its shift to new growth models. The outlook downgrade follows a similar move by Moody's in December and comes as Beijing ratchets up efforts to spur feeble post-COVID recovery in the world's second largest economy. Gordon, a very good day to you. Fitch, conventional wisdom, China's in trouble. Can we say, Gordon, it's now confirmed? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. And yes, it is confirmed because Fitch has been slow to the party. Clearly, the debt situation in China is severe. One could even say critical. Beijing has no plan for it. And we can all see what's happening.
We welcome Jonathan Ward, author of The Decisive Decade. We're in it. Also a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, writing most recently for Fox, his measure of the Chinese economy, as seen through the eyes of the bulls attending a gathering in Beijing called by Xi Jinping, the CEOs of America, led by Tim Cook. What is to be done? Jonathan, a very good evening to you. A long trip to Beijing by Tim Cook and his colleagues. For what purpose? Good evening to you, Jonathan.
Good evening, John. Good evening, Gordon. So, right, we can see a whole bunch of forces coming into play here. I mean, the CEOs are continuing to go to China. They just attended a couple weeks ago the China Development Forum, and many of those that were in attendance still represent enormous quantities of revenue coming out of the China market. In total, U.S. corporate revenues out of China are not actually large. They're about 2.5% of U.S. GDP if we use 2019 Commerce Department statistics. But if you're something like Apple, where you're pulling in 68 billion, according to the Wall Street Journal, or like Qualcomm, that's pulling in 22 billion. I mean, these are the CEOs that are going over there, and they still seek engagement because they've tied their business models so close to this adversary of the United States that at this point there may be very little room for them to move out of harm's way. And in the meantime, as we just saw Janet Yellen going over to China at the end of the month, she has now brought up with her Chinese counterparts the possibility of sanctioning Chinese corporations that are assisting Russia with its war effort. I mean, I brought that up in The Decisive Decade, published a year ago, to explain that we're going to need economic strike packages on the Chinese corporations that are assisting the Russian industrial base and therefore its war effort. But that's starting to find its way into official executive branch thinking now. And I think what that means ultimately is, in addition to the downgrades over macroeconomic concerns, the debt limit, the sort of slowing growth in China, we have corporates that are tied into this. We have the inevitable sort of conflict between China's geopolitical ambitions, support for Russia, et cetera, and the need to sanction them, not just Russia. And then you have the retaliation that I think is coming against U.S. corporations in the China market. So while the U.S. economy, I believe, is not too overly exposed to China, individual companies, individual sectors certainly are.
Gordon, just a moment here. We have documented your leadership on this, the decline and fall of the Chinese miracle. There is no patch. There is no fix. Everything they've tried has failed so far. Xi Jinping shows much more inclination towards the Maoist surveillance state than he does towards the growth scenario that was always possible if they had a consumer class. All of that is true. And yet these CEOs show up, and what Jonathan just said is they get revenues out of China. So they've attached themselves to a sinking ship. Is there any other way to think of it, Gordon?
Well, yes, they certainly have attached themselves to a sinking ship. I think that they know that, or many of them know it, but they go there because China demands it. And China demands it because it wants to put on a show for the world, saying that the CEOs have flocked to Beijing and they say we're okay. But clearly, I think that as we saw in November, when the 400 CEOs went to see Xi Jinping in San Francisco, that, you know, essentially they know what's going on. They're being part of a propaganda ploy. They don't like it, but they really don't have a choice for the reasons that Jonathan just pointed out, especially in connection with Apple and Qualcomm.
So they're captured by the Chinese Communist Party and they know it. Is that what you just said?
Absolutely. And although, you know, they should not be part of a propaganda, hideous propaganda event, they'll do it because it's money. Business is amoral. And until the U.S. government forces them out of China, they're probably going to try to stay there for the last dollar.
You have a question for Jonathan.
Jonathan, a number of people have talked about severe China risk for Apple and other companies. The SEC has been sort of thinking about adding China risk as something that has to be disclosed. If you can talk about this, because I think this is actually something that would get investors on the same page as their morality.
Gordon, I think that's one of the best moves the U.S. could make. I mean, to force sort of a separation of China revenue, also China profitability, even a description of China-based assets into corporate 10-Ks, into the annual reporting that goes into the SEC. Because eventually, you know, markets may not understand this yet, but the more that they're able to see that China exposure is not about growth, it's really danger. I mean, it's putting companies in geopolitical danger. I think that will give the management of major publicly traded companies a freer hand to start to make better strategies. Because if you're one of these companies, let's say, that was in Beijing a couple of weeks ago, really what you should be doing is trying to get out of harm's way as fast as possible. I mean, this is going to be very punishing if these geopolitical realities come to fruition. I mean, we saw that if you juxtapose Admiral Aquilino's testimony saying that Beijing is likely to meet its goal of being able to invade Taiwan by 2027. If you juxtapose that with a corporate 10K like Apple or Qualcomm, I mean, you can see how completely disruptive this is going to be to American companies. And I think not just for the sake of these companies, their shareholders, their managers, but also for the sake of U.S. markets, because the real concern I think the SEC should have is if too much of the U.S. equity markets is tied into bad corporate strategy and China risk. I mean, it's going to disrupt, I think, the S&P 500 in general. It won't just affect the companies that have made these decisions. It will affect the broader markets, which affects pensions, which affects the health of the U.S. economy. So we need the companies, I think, to be moving as fast as they can out of the way of this problem. And whether or not they're going to participate in pageantry like the China Development Forum or the, you know, Confab in San Francisco, I think real tougher, smarter corporate decision making is going to be essential to the health of the U.S. economy.
Jonathan, I noted this morning Bloomberg reporting that one out of seven iPhones is now constructed in India. What that tells me is that China's lost its margin. That itself is a blow to any country at this living this far away from balance. So one in seven is a start, I understand, but I think it's a strike against Beijing. It's a vote against Xi Jinping. How do you see it?
Well, sure. I mean, one in seven, that's great, but that's still a very, very long way to go, John. I mean, there was an FT report last year on Apple, and it basically said that 90% across every single product line of Apple products would still be made in China by the end of 2024. So, you know, that basically tracks with what we're seeing. I mean, they're trying to move things to India, but, you know, we need to be in a situation where it's the reverse of that. It's not six in seven are made in China, but, you know, more like the opposite, one or two in seven. And meanwhile, I mean, Apple, and this was always true. I mean, their designs were copied by Chinese competitors, and Huawei has really rebounded in the China market. So I think Apple's long-term share of that market is in jeopardy. And I think it's also why it's important on an SEC filing, if you can separate out not only China revenue, but China profitability, that's worth looking at, because I think it's not just the revenue that companies earn. I think in Apple, it kind of tracks more or less the same, the revenue versus the profitability. But I think in other companies, you know, we may find that China's just not that profitable. You look at that when you see the broader Commerce Department reportings, where, you know, there's a whole lot of corporate revenue coming out of China, but there's very, very little overall corporate profitability coming out of China. So I think every company's a separate case, but the more we can do to move them out of harm's way, the safer the U.S. economy is going to be and the safer these companies will be.
Gordon, we have a minute.
Tim Cook, before the China Development Forum, met with officials of Lens Technology in Shanghai. Lens Technology is a subcontractor to Apple, and it also uses Uyghur forced labor. Why aren't the Americans focusing on the use of forced labor of ethnic and racial minorities in Apple products?
Gordon, I wish we would. I mean, that was, I think, the first thrust of understanding corporate risk in China was understanding the human rights atrocities. I mean, many companies are participating in this. I wrote about this a lot in the Decisive Decade. You know, a lot of good reporting from around the world that's linked dozens of foreign companies to these practices. So to be in the China market is to be in the China system, which is to participate in these atrocities. And at the same time, the U.S. has designed real responses to this, such as the Uyghur Forced Labor Prevention Act. I mean, that could be applied at scale in such a powerful way, but it's going to be incredibly disruptive to these companies, and they need to make their own decisions now. I mean, this is just, you know, it's not, I imagine it's not what Steve Jobs thought. I mean, one of the greatest ads in the 20th century was Jobs's 1984 ad, and to think that a company that he created is participating in these sorts of things, I think that's probably against the values, to say nothing of the actual dangers to the entity itself.
Jonathan Ward, Decisive Decade, Hudson Institute, Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.